that in lieu of accepting the report on this item, we simply receive the report as filed. And in our rules, there's a difference between accepting and receiving. And receiving just as a matter of transmittal, and it's filed. And we don't have to officially accept and take a vote. We're just, and that's within your discretion under the rules, and it's been discussed with each of the offices as an option. That way it doesn't just go into the ether. It's going from here to here, but it's not being accepted. So that's my first suggestion, that we simply receive it, file it, not accept it, and postpone taking any official action on it. Second, I think it's important that we be clear that Dante, the director, has laid out a path. Those are aggressive timelines. The council may decide they're too aggressive, but that's for further conversation, and it's going to depend a lot on what kind of feedback he gets and whether it's feasible within this truncated timeline to come up with something. But I think he's also made clear there's going to be a lot of opportunity for public comment, and we may not get there. And third, nothing is going to change in the interim because we've already, as a council, adopted a CBP, Community Benefits Plan for Washington Park, and we've set higher goals than we had in the pilots. So that's behind us. And there actually is no particular thing which we are being asked to adopt. We are continuing a process. And frankly, just speaking for myself, I have found the last 2 days of hearings on this, while they were raw and sometimes uncomfortable, I thought they were very helpful. And frankly, not just to ventilate some really tough issues, but I thought there were some new issues that were put on the table that were fantastic, like the regional approach, which I think is something that we have an interest in doing so that we're not just doing one-off job opportunities, we're creating a continuum. And also, having some follow-up conversations about what accountability looks like, what oversight looks like, the legal issues raised by signatories. I mean, I've listened carefully, taken a phone book worth of notes. So I think if we just receive it and don't accept it, we give ourselves more breathing room to engage some of those issues. Dante has laid out a path for considering a modified proposal, which we may or may not take up in the balance of your term. We may or may not accept. And beyond that, there is actually nothing we are doing to change the status quo. And I want to be clear, because there was a lot of heartburn about that last time, that somehow this is leading to a change, because we have already acted on Washington Park, and that's behind us. So my proposal is we receive it, we publicize the dates and the opportunities for comment, but then we as a council decide whether this is a timeline that we're comfortable with.
Well, I like that proposal, and I'll take that as a motion.
Second.
And we can discuss it or we can talk about it as we vote on it, but I think it is a way to resolve what we've heard, and
I've heard
a lot to say, so
I don't think we vote on it.
No, we don't need a motion, Mayor.
We're
receiving it. So in lieu of a vote, you have the power as the presiding officer to say that's how we're proceeding.
Okay. Then I'll be prepared to do that, but I also want to give members of the council an opportunity to comment. So would you like to start, Steve?
Yes, I think that's a very good suggestion. I mean, I think that in the past 3 years, there's only been one report that I voted not to accept, which was the JTDF report, which had non-existent content. So I was thinking that I could conceivably vote to accept this report without suggesting that I agree with anything in it. And there are certainly some controversial statements in the introduction to the report. I mean, for example, there's a statement that there were indistinguishable improvements using the CBA compared to the City of Portland's existing WASB subcontracting processes goals that have been achieved on other alternative procurement projects that did not have a CBA. I think that is one statement that is certainly subject to dispute, and I would not have wanted to vote to accept this report as a suggestion that I'm taking one side or another that's on a disputed issue. I think that the suggestion that we say we're receiving the report makes it quite clear that it doesn't mean that we're agreeing with everything in it. I also wanted to say that Commissioner Fish noted that it may be the timeline Dante has outlined is too aggressive. Commissioner Saltzman said in a previous meeting that he's seen every new mayor address this issue, and he expects the next mayor will as well. And I've already had conversations with Mayor-elect Wheeler and Tom Reinhardt, who will be his new CEO, about the importance of taking a long look at how we make sure that we engage more women and minority contractors and more women and minorities in the workforce of our contractors. So thank you, Mayor, for giving me the chance to expound.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Fritz?
Thank you. I think I heard a lot of good testimony both today and the last time we discussed this, and I'm very glad that the Equitable Contracting and Procurement Commission, which is very hard to say, it's no wonder everybody says ECPC all the time, I'm glad that the commission is moved into the Office of Equity and Human Rights. Obviously, we need to figure out how to get it properly staffed as well. And normally, we would want to have had a lot of these conversations heard by the commission before it gets to council. You often say, Mayor, for the Planning Commission, that you want it 90% ready, and then or 95%, and then come to council for us to make the final tweaks. And it didn't feel like anything was close to 90% in these discussions. And Tom Reinhardt, who will be the new Chief Administrative Officer, will start work, I believe, on October 1st. So he can hopefully be engaged in this process. Another person that I believe needs to be engaged is Christine Moody of Procurement Services, which nobly stood back and let the community give their input. And I know how committed she is to equitable contracting and to finding ways of engaging more women and minority businesses and workers. Because whenever she brings something to council, she's telling us what she did after the bids to make sure that the amount of participation got better, and she's had some spectacular results. So I hope, and I want you to nod, Director James, that Christine will be very much engaged in this. Absolutely good. Thank you very much. And really great participation, especially for the people who came and told their personal stories, which was so moving and helps us really understand how important this is. So thank you, everybody, for your work.
Thank you. Mr. Fish, would you like to make a few comments?
Thank you, Mayor. I'll be very brief. I want to thank the city staff that pulled together the materials that we've been reviewing. I want to thank the LMCOC. I will speak for the Water Bureau that we've learned a lot from the two pilots. And we're proud of the results at the two pilot projects. And I am more convinced than ever that we are, despite whatever differences we may have about means, we are all united in the goal of creating more opportunity for women and minority businesses. I also think this council and every council I've served on in 8 years has a consistent track record of supporting prevailing wage and high road labor standards. And so there are some legal and what I would almost say technical issues that we are disagreeing over or we are having within the family a lively discussion about. And I think people made very compelling arguments during this hearing, and now we have a chance to hit the pause button and to evaluate and consider those arguments. But I don't want anyone to leave this piece of our agenda over the last two sessions thinking that we are not committed to high road standards for working people, that we're retreating from prevailing wage, that we don't think that labor standards should be enforced, or that we're not committed to opportunity. How you balance all those things is hard. And the CBA is an example of a very well-intentioned effort to craft something that could move the ball. One of the questions that I've had throughout this process as someone with a proud history of involvement in the labor movement is, can we do better? And I think sometimes the conversation, because this has been a little raw, and as Commissioner Fritz pointed out, it hasn't been as cooked as maybe we would like. I think sometimes people have maybe misunderstood that in asking these questions, we're not looking to retreat, we're looking to advance. And how do you advance and do so in a way that isn't divisive? Because the one part of this process that gave me pause was when I saw my friends questioning each other's motives. And that we can never do. That is a sin. We cannot do that. We cannot function in this room if we do that. And I hope we limit that in the future. I don't question people's motives. I think people have different life experiences and different perspectives, and our job is to try to reconcile things. But let's be clear, we start with a foundation of shared values. And without being flip, I think my one regret over a lengthy process is I think too much time has been spent focusing on the 1%, and I don't mean the 1% in the way that Commissioner Novick speaks about the 1%, and not enough about the 100%. And by that I mean we should never accept progress through the lens of how we spend a 1% carve-out. Our measurement of success is how we spend the 100% of the project funds in advancing shared goals. And we've been talking a lot about who pulls the levers on the 1%, and we're going to keep the 1%. Folks, let's not take our eye off the ball. It's the 100% that we care about. And finally, just a question, a comment about accountability. I've been on this council long enough to hear all kinds of views about accountability. But the consistent thing that I've learned is that accountability cannot be delegated. And we can have oversight bodies and partners at the table and people helping us. But at the end of the day, the mayor and his four colleagues are accountable, and no one else. And when a bureau says we're going to get to a better outcome and puts the commissioner in charge and the director's name on that commitment, that is, in my view, as it should be. Now, how we get there and how members of the community help us get there is a good conversation. But the accountability in our form of government rests with the commissioner in charge and a director. And we can never, ever confuse that. We can never, as a substitute, say we're going to delegate that to some well-intentioned group of people, and then if we fall short, say, well, too bad. Because this council has to be accountable for those goals. And when the council says on Washington Park, we're going to do better than the CBA, we're on the hook for that. And we don't get to 10 years from now say, gosh, you were right. We should have had a different process for how we get there because we misjudged. A commitment has been made, and it's a rather audacious commitment, and we're on the hook for it. And I can't even use the excuse of potentially having my bureaus reassigned because I said, as long as I'm on this council, we're going to achieve those goals. Thank you to everybody that participated in this discussion. I think it's been one of the most important conversations we've had. And I hope we can take the positive energy here and approach the next chapter in the spirit of doing better than we've done in the past. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Commissioner. Let me add a little bit to these good comments. One, I said this last time, but I'll try to restate it in a way I hope that makes sense, but that is, in one capacity or another, I've been in this room for 14 years, and we've been talking about this subject for the entire span of that time, which included a 10-year gap. This particular hearing, in all those 14 years, all the different subjects we've talked about, is the most peculiar combination of frustration, celebration, and agreement that I've ever seen. And it's a little puzzling in one sense. And you go back to the beginning of this hearing and you look at what Fred Miller listed as what we need to be doing. Break down the data on workforce. Alternative contracting is working better than low bid. We have to do better. Focus on a pipeline of talent for the future. Engage regional partners. Coach firms. You know, increase the pool of there's so much agreement in this room about where we should be and about what's working. And the CBAs clearly have been working. And I've learned a lot. So that's the other thing. I have learned so much in these two discussions in this chamber. And I think one of the things that was illuminated right at the end is probably the most important point. And that is, we're still talking about this, as Dante said, because there's institutional racism and sexism in our city. It's in the construction industry. And it's actually in city government as well. Not because we are racists and sexists, but because if we don't make changes that are real enough and big enough, then we don't achieve equity. And I've learned that from Dante James. Thank you. You know, a long time ago, Edmund Burke said, all that's necessary for the triumph of evil is for good people to do nothing. Well, in this case, all that's necessary for the triumph of injustice is for us to do not enough. And that's the point I've learned from this. The CBAs are a high watermark of doing more like enough, if I can put that a little inartfully. But we did a little more like enough this time. Let's learn from that. Let's repeat that. Let's use that tool some more. I get that. Some other things that are clear. If the community's not a partner, there's no progress on this. So the community's got to be an actual partner, not just making nice words about that. It's got to really be true. That includes real oversight. The Equitable Contracting and Purchasing Commission and the Labor Management Community Oversight Committee, like the sound of that, are both attempts at having that kind of real oversight from both labor and management and the community. We've got to have that in this case. We've got to have real data disaggregated about who's getting the work and how much of it and how many hours and what progress are they personally making. We've heard some good stories. I don't mean to denigrate those stories or minimize them at all. That was a teachable moment as well. Each of those workers who came here and told us their story. So thank you for them and for those who have helped them. We got to create real consequences for noncompliance. There's got to be real teeth to this, because if we're going to push people in an uncomfortable direction past barriers of racism and sexism, then we've got to have penalties for not going where this community says we must go. So equity is hard work. It's worth the extra time, and I appreciate the amount of time that the council has put into this discussion. It's worth a lot of energy for the remaining time that I am here in this position as your mayor. I'm going to keep pushing this progress and the use of tools that work, including community benefits agreements, because they do work. So thank you all for really helping us understand better. I want to close by sounding a little negative. My colleague Dan is here, not here to defend himself, but he could have been interpreted in what he said last time is that, well, you know, nothing ever changes. We talk about this every time a new mayor comes in. Well, that's true. That's because we're not there yet. But we've learned some things here, and we've got some tools that work, and we as a city will use them. I will, and I believe the next mayor will as well, and I know that my colleagues here want to make this work and to make this progress real and stick and grow. So I learned a lot. Thank you all. More progress to come. This report is received and filed. Thank you.
Mayor, can we go to 1078?
We need to do, yes, we're going to go to 1078.
We have some folks.
And then before he leaves, we've got to do 1083. So we're going to do 1078, and I think we can do that in time to get 1083 in before Commissioner Novick leaves. So 1078.